Well, good evening. Welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study. Glad that you joined us tonight. We start a new series entitled A Praying Life. And tonight's subtitle to the message is called Becoming Like a Child. But before we get into the Bible study tonight and I read the scriptures, I just want to make a quick announcement. And that is the governor has changed the guidelines now for assembling. And the new guidelines came down. And it looks like this Sunday we're going to have our first service on site. And we will give you details with regards to that in the coming days. But I'm excited about that, and that is certainly a great answer to prayer. But I'd like to start this evening by reading out of the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 10, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to gather here tonight and to open your word and to discuss and teach on the topic of prayer. Might this time it draw each of us closer to you. And we're thankful, Lord, for the fact that this Sunday we'll be able to gather again and to preach on site and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But please use me tonight as your instrument and as your vessel. Despite my own faults and failures, my own weaknesses, let me bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray these things. Amen. You know, we are so busy that when we slow down to pray, sometimes we might even find it uncomfortable. American culture, perhaps, is the hardest place in the world to learn how to pray. And what I mean by that is Americans were working, we're involved in entertaining, either entertaining ourselves, being entertained, or entertaining others. We're constantly being communicated to, or we're communicating, everything from social media to the news. We hear the news of the day just about as it happens on our phones. We're a consuming people. In other words, we're just busy. We're running, as the Bible says, to and fro constantly. In fact, as Americans, we prize accomplishment and we prize productivity. There's a verse in the Bible, Paul said this, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification." There are a lot of voices calling to us in different directions. The famous Christian writer C.S. Lewis put it this way. He called it the kingdom of noise. And that's true. There's just constantly we're being bombarded with different voices. And yet the Bible tells us to be still and the importance of being still. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Or, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee." One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the Exodus. Moses leading the children of Israel out of 400 years of captivity under the Egyptians. And finally, after the 10 plagues, Pharaoh says, after Moses says that God said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh finally lets them go. And then after they're on their journey, Pharaoh in anger changes his mind. He gets his chariots together and he begins to pursue after the children of Israel. Moses has led them to the Red Sea. So the Red Sea is in front of them and they have nowhere to go. Pharaoh's chariots are behind them, just ready to pounce upon them and to destroy them. And God speaks through Moses to the children of Israel, who I am sure were wondering, "What have we done?" And Moses says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still, he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. And you know what happens? Miraculously, God splits the Red Sea wide open. The children of Israel go across the Red Sea. They're safe on the other side on dry land. Pharaoh pursues after them. The waters close in upon Pharaoh's army, and Pharaoh's army is destroyed, and God delivers them. But what did God say? What did God say? He said, "Be still and see the salvation of God." Or here's an example out of the book of Job. Job chapter 37 and verse 14. "Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." That's what prayer allows us to do, to stand still, to stop working and stop consuming and stopping all of our communication and all of our entertainment. And I'm not even saying that those things are necessarily bad, but there's a time that we just need to stand still. And with regards to prayer, I'm afraid prayer is more talked about and prayer is more preached about than prayer is really practiced. Even our Wednesday night prayer meetings in most churches is a regular thing, but how much prayer is really done on a Wednesday night? It's more of a Bible study than it is a prayer time. Here's another example in the Bible. Jesus said this, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." That was when Jesus, for the first time, sent the apostles out two by two. And they went out preaching the word of God. And when they were returned, apparently it had been a very successful first time out. But the people had come to hear them. But the Bible says, and Jesus infers here, that they needed a time to come apart. They were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. And sometimes our lives are that way. We're on the go so much, we don't even stop. We don't stop to have a bite to eat. We're on go, 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 go. And yet prayer is a time that we can actually slow down. The pandemic for many has been a time where you could slow down a little bit and just get some time to be more meditative. And for some, that's been very difficult because we're so used to working and working and communicating and entertaining and being on the go. But so it's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes we just need rest from that. In Mark chapter 1, here's another example. The Bible says this, speaking of Jesus, "In the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." So Jesus gives us the example of himself, that he just took time in the morning to get alone with his heavenly Father and to communicate with him. So let me go back to the scriptures that I read to start this Bible study off. Let me read them again. The Bible says, "And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily, he said, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and he blessed them." Well, you might say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with prayer? He's talking here and using children as an example. Well, we need to understand some things about the culture, too, and it really brings emphasis to using children as an example. You know, it wasn't that long ago when I was a child, you know, you heard this saying, you don't really hear it much any longer, but there was a saying, and people would say this, that children need to be seen and not heard. They need to be seen and not heard. We don't really practice that today. And I'm not saying that was right or that was wrong. I'm just reminding us of what was once said. But we live in a culture today that children are really promoted, sometimes even idolized. And that's really a whole other message for another time. It's not that children are not very, very important. They certainly are. So don't get me wrong. But in that culture, in that day, for Jesus to use them, and he does it throughout the Gospels as examples, is pretty radical. Because, I mean, women in that day and age were second-class citizens. In fact, that's what makes it so remarkable at the resurrection, that the first witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ were women. If the Bible was just written by men and not written by the Holy Spirit, who moved upon men to write exactly what God wanted, a man in that era and in that day would never have used women to be the first to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They weren't even allowed to testify in court. So if you were trying to convince people of something that had happened, you wouldn't have used women. You would have used men to testify. Well, children were even less so respected. They were children. And yet Jesus here, he makes this statement. In fact, let me read you another example over in the Gospel of Mark where he uses children, just one chapter back. Listen to what it says. The Bible says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. So in other words, as the disciples were traveling to Capernaum, the disciples were talking amongst themselves and saying, you know, who's going to sit at the right hand of Jesus? Who's going to be his right-hand man? Who's going to be chief in the kingdom of God? And Jesus knew that, but they didn't realize that Jesus knew what they were talking about. And when Jesus asked this question that says they held their peace, they said, oh, well, we were talking about it, but we really didn't want Jesus to know what we were talking about. Now listen to what Jesus says. And he sat down and he called the 12. And he said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Now he's saying to them, he said, listen, you need to have a childlike spirit when you come to me. That's an interesting thought. In fact, in future Bible studies, we'll get into the whole idea of crying unto Abba, Father. The relationship as God, our Father, and the relationship as his children. We see that so much more in the New Testament than we see it in the Old Testament. The model prayer, we'll talk about that in future lessons. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's that relationship of a father and a child. But tonight, what can we learn as Jesus uses these examples about children and coming to him as a child and taking them up in his arms and blessing them? What can we learn about prayer as a child or from a child? So I'd like to just give you three simple points tonight as we come to the Lord in prayer. First is this. God wants you and I to come to him with childlike honesty. Childlike honesty. Let me give you an example. In the winter, from January to March, on Thursdays, for about 8, sometimes 10 weeks, we go skiing. When we had our Christian school, we would take our kids up to Mount Snow. They've got a great program for children. And we would ski in the morning. They'd get an hour and a half lesson. They'd have lunch, and then they could ski in the afternoon. So I've been doing that for over 20 years. And now my children are all grown. They're not in that program any longer. But my grandkids are in that program. And so I go, I ski in the morning, you know, usually by myself. And then after lunch, I'll ski with my children and my grandkids. And one Thursday, I don't know if it was a cold day or what, but I was done for the day. I was tired. And I was going to go home, and it looked like my grandkids were done. So I said to Ethan and Deborah, I said, would you like for me to take the grandkids? I'll go home, and you guys can ski if you want. And so they said, sure. And so I gathered up my four grandkids that were there that day, and we got to my house. It was a cold day, and so I said to them, I said, well, would you guys like some hot chocolate when we get to Grandpa's house? And, oh, of course, what kid doesn't want hot chocolate? And so we got to my house, we got them settled into the kitchen, and they sat at the table. And I went to my cupboard, and I have only 2 packets of hot chocolate and I have 4 grandchildren. So I'm thinking, well, what do I do? So I know what I'll do. So I get the water heated up. So I take the 2 packets and I divide them in half and I put the 2 packets, one packet for two hot chocolates. So I bring the hot chocolates to the table and the grandkids, they're licking their chops, you know, they want some hot chocolate. And, you know, it's the kind of hot chocolate that's got the little tiny marshmallows that comes with it and they float around the top. So they sit down and they began to sip their hot chocolate. Well, my grandson Nehemiah, he takes about a sip, maybe two, and he gets up and he starts to walk away and he's heading over to our playroom. And I said, Nehemiah, what's wrong? Don't you want the hot chocolate? And Nehemiah says this without skipping a beat. It tastes like water, Grandpa. It tastes like water. And he walks away. And it was just so watered down, it didn't taste like hot chocolate. But that's what a child does, right? They just blurt out the truth. No problem. Nehemiah was not going to sit there and drink a hot cup of water that barely tasted like hot chocolate. But that's how God wants us to come, just like Nehemiah. It tastes like water, Grandpa. It tastes like water. But God wants us to come in our prayer life honestly. And why? Because God already knows. You know, we can't be dishonest with God. Listen to what it says in the book of Hebrews. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, God knows everything about us. We can't hide anything from God. And when we come to God in our prayer life, we should just come to him with a childlike honesty because God already knows. You know, we can't hide whatever it is that we're dealing with somewhere in our heart or somewhere within our mind. Just be honest with the Lord. God expects that. It's like the disciples as they were walking to Capernaum. They had this conversation and they thought that they were keeping this conversation from Jesus, and Jesus already knew what was on their heart. And it's in the book of Hebrews where it talks about God, everything is open before him and he understands everything that's going on in our lives. But we're reminded that we have not a couple of verses later, it says, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are. I mean, that's why Jesus became a man, to experience life like you and I experience. He tired. He was weary. He had emotion. And then it goes on and it says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you come to the Lord, just come to the Lord with a childlike honesty. That's why Jesus uses these children throughout the scriptures as examples. Children can be brutally honest. And we should be honest too when we come before the Lord. Don't try to hide anything from him and don't hold back. In fact, sometimes we, in a situation like that with the hot chocolate, it humors us. I was reminding my wife of this story as I was putting these notes together for the Bible study. Oh, we both laughed. We both laughed. Tastes like water, Grandpa. Tastes like water. Be honest with the Lord. And then what else can we learn from children in our prayer life? Have you ever noticed that children are messy? They're messy. Let me use my grandchildren as another example here. So it was a couple of years ago, and we had all 4 of Ethan and Deborah's kids at the house that particular day, and they're having dinner with us. So I'm sitting at the head of the table, and we put the food on their plates. We've asked the Lord's blessing on the meal, and we're eating, and I'm watching them eat. And especially the younger ones, and I'm looking at them, and it's like food going everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with my son and daughter-in-law? Aren't they teaching these kids to put the food from the plate in their mouths? And then I started to think, And I began, you know, you forget now that your children are grown and they're out of the house, you forget that when my children were that age, they were the same way as little children. In fact, when we would go to visit my mother in Florida, sometimes I think she'd put a tarp out, the food would get around. Children are messy. They're messy. And we can learn from that with regards to our prayer life. And I forgot. Yeah, my kids were messy too. When the kids are over, the grandkids are over and they're in the playroom, they get all done. And I don't know, it's the nature of a child, isn't it? To take every toy out of the toy box and it's spread all over. And now what do we do before they go? We say, hey, clean up the toy room before you leave. Put the toys away. And or else the place is just like got toys everywhere. But because children are messy. We expect children to be messy. That's why they make bibs. Well, our adult lives can be pretty messy as well, if we're really honest. In fact, our prayer lives, reveals just how messy our lives can be. We slow down. It gives us time to think about and talk about the messiness with the Lord. Prayer exposes our messiness because God speaks to us as we're in our prayer time with Him. It exposes our selfishness. It exposes our doubts and our fears. It exposes the fact that we can be very callous and uncaring at times. It can expose our lack of commitment. It exposes what our needs are, both small and great. It exposes, and this is really important, just how powerless sometimes we can be. Just how powerless we are. You know, a child realizes that too, right? A child realizes there are certain things that a child just can't do, and they cry. They cry to their mother, they cry to their father, their grandparents. They need help. Can you help me with this? Can you open this? Can you do this for me, Grandpa? Can you do this for me, Mom? Can you do this for me, Dad? Well, our prayer time is like that too. And our lives can be messy. God knows that. He expects that. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He didn't say, "Come unto me, all ye that have it all together and everything is neat and tidy and in order in your life, and I will give you rest." No, he says, "Come to me that labor and are heavy laden, the things that are weighing us down." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls." Isn't that what most people desire? Rest for their souls? The peace that passeth all understanding? The contentment? We just got done with a series of studies in the book of Philippians, and part of the theme was the joy of the Lord. Isn't that what you and I want for our lives? Rest for our souls? In a busy world where we're running to and fro? And so we need to come to God with a childlike honesty, but we need to come to God because just like children's lives are messy, your life and my life can be messy at times. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's a picture of yoking of two oxen. It's a picture, you know, often to train a yoke or to train oxen, they would often put a younger oxen with an older oxen so that the older oxen would kind of lead and the younger oxen would follow the lead of the older ox, and that's how it would learn. And so Jesus is saying, "Listen, I want to yoke up with you." And prayer, our prayer time is putting on that yoke and allowing Jesus to guide us and to lead us. And our Heavenly Father, He expects us to come messy, the way life is sometimes. And if you like me, as we grew up, we enjoyed the Peanuts comic strip, Peanuts. And one of the characters was Pigpen. And there was a cartoon of Pigpen, and, you know, he was just a mess all of the time. And he said this. He said, "I'm not dirty," he said. "I'm hygienically challenged." You saw him kind of wandering off. Or there was another cartoon, and Snoopy was looking at Pigpen, and you saw the thoughts of Snoopy, and he said this about Pigpen. He said, "Someday, someone is going to put four boards around that kid, and they're going to have a sandbox." Oh, poor Pigpen. He was always a mess. Sometimes our lives are that way. But what a difference. And think about this, too, as we finish up this second point. I found this, what a difference when your children versus your grandchildren make a mess. And I've kind of learned that, you know. The other day, not too long ago, some of my kids were there, and one of my grandkids, they spilled their milk on the table. Well, when my kids spilled milk on my table, one of my sons was sitting there when this happened, and he reminded us of this. "Oh, Dad," he said, "you would have said, 'What is wrong with you?' But when my grandkids spilled their milk, it was, 'It's okay, we'll get it cleaned up, don't worry about it.'" Well, you do treat your grandkids different. But actually, with regards to our prayer life and coming to God messy, God, our Heavenly Father, when we spill the milk, so to speak, He says, "It's okay, we can get this cleaned up." It's a wonderful truth that God, how much God loves us and how much God cares for us. But lastly, with regards to our prayer life, as a child, we need to come honestly. As a child, we're messy, and God knows it. But children, have you ever noticed this? Children are pretty fidgety. They're always fidgeting around. They can't keep still. Does your mind wander when you pray? Sometimes my mind wanders. Sometimes I'm really focused. Sometimes it's hard to focus. Sometimes it's easier to focus. And if we're not careful as an adult, let's be careful of this. If we can't focus sometimes in our prayer life, the enemy can come and say, "Well, you're not very spiritual if you can't stay focused. And God, He must be disappointed with you because you can't stay focused. Can't you stay focused for longer than 2 or 3 minutes?" And sometimes we hear that voice, the voice of the enemy, and we become discouraged, or we become disappointed in ourselves, and then we give up. Let me ask you this. How many young children really stay focused for a long period of time? And yet the Bible tells us to come to God like a child. We understand that a child's attention span is different than adults' attention span. We expect it to be. And God expects when you and I come to Him, listen, God already knows we've got a lot on our mind. But prayer is trying to get those things out of our mind. Sometimes it's hard. And we're fidgety like a child. You know, sometimes I think legalism enters into our prayer life. Like we have this idea that we have to come and we have to hold our hands perfect and we have to be on our knees and we have to do and say everything exactly right or God will not hear and God will not answer my prayers. It's not true. It doesn't work that way. God knows there are times like a child. We're just fidgety. And He accepts that. Let me give you this example as we finish up here. Let me read out of the Gospel of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn there. But Matthew chapter 11, the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11. The scriptures say, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' Well, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" So understand this. This is a Pharisee. He's got this flowery prayer and a very kind of a prideful prayer. And I guess if you were looking at him, you would think, well, he's got it all together in his prayer life. And you have this publican. He beats on his chest. He just cries out, "God, just be merciful to me." Jesus said this, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And then notice this, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. There it is, children again. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus, in fact, they're rebuking him for bringing the children. But Jesus called unto them and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Just come to the Lord as a little child. That's what God expects. Come to him. Come to him honestly. Come to him, and he knows you're messy. Come to him. He knows you're going to be fidgety. But come to him. Just come to him. Because God delights in our time of prayer with him. Well, thanks for joining tonight for the Bible study. I hope it was a blessing to you. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for loving us just like you love children. You look at us as a child, and help us to come with a childlike faith. We ask and pray again, Lord, for our nation, your blessings upon our country. We pray for this pandemic to be over with. We pray your protective hand upon our citizens, that we would stay healthy. We pray, Lord, for just each and every family that has lost a loved one during this time. Your comforting hand be upon them. Be with the leadership of our nation as they go forward. We pray, Lord, that as we approach this Sunday, the services that we're going to put together, that they would honor and glorify you. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you.